Good morning, everyone. We never know whether it's spring or what it is. I was talking to a cousin in Maine, and yesterday morning it was 10 below zero. Yeah, hard to believe. But, things change, I guess. The subject that we're going to continue to look at is the subject of credibility. I'm not sure exactly the avenue that Jorge took last Sunday, but I put together some thoughts and thinking about the word being credible, being true, being honest, and I think there's so much that we can think of when we think of the word credibility. I was reading in the paper the article of the American soldier who rescued the Iraqi fellow, carried him on his back. He had been wounded, and carrying him to seek medical help. And what a tremendous illustration of the fact of the credibility, the truth that the Americans want to get across. We were there to help them, and I think it's a good illustration of the fact that the desire is to free and to help those who have been living in such despair. Credibility is a word that is not found in Scripture, but certainly has so many portions of Scripture that support, that outline, that certainly speak of the truth that God has revealed to us. We can be thankful that as a child of God that there are many things that we can count on as being credible. We can think of the Word of God as a credible book. It's a book of truth. There's no greater book upon earth that's been written than the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost. The credibility of the Word of God is so vast. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. The credibility of the Word of God. We have the credibility of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the most credible person was ever here on earth. And he's the most credible one who came to give his life on the cross of Calvary. No one else was a man of truth as he. There are many doctrinal truths that are credible. The Old Testament prophets spoke of things that were to come. Writers of the New Testament, inspired of God, wrote to us concerning the fulfillment of those prophets that spoke hundreds and thousands of years previous to that time. It speaks to the credibility of the Word of God, doesn't it? So we have so many things that speaks in Scripture the credibility of God's Word and of God's plan that is being unfolded even before the foundations of the world. I'd like for us to turn to Matthew chapter 7. I thought we might look at a portion here. Matthew chapter 7, I'm just going to give a little bit of just an overview, just very quickly on the portion. Matthew 7, 7 through 11. We see here of a door that is opened. It speaks here of prayer. A door that is open. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. There's a door of prayer that is open. And God wants us to come to him and to knock and to ask, and we will receive. There's a door of prayer that God will open to us if we ask, if we call upon him. And I believe these are days when men who, and women who has never prayed, I'm sure has prayed, as we're faced with the events of the world today. These are days of prayer. And I trust that even through these events, that there might be a great turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to looking for the answer, looking for comfort, looking for hope in this world. And the only one that can, only place it can be found is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21 through 23, we have another door that is open. We can enter in to the kingdom of heaven. This is a door that is open today. This is a door that God has opened to whosoever will can come and receive his Son, his work on the cross of Calvary. He paid for man's sin. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He died that man might live. This door is open, is always open to man. And then we see in verses 13 through 13 and 14, there's a gate that is open. And this gate is a narrow gate, isn't it? And the gate is open for all those that may seek to enter into the right way, God's way. This gate is always open. It's open to you today. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, today is the time that the gate is open. The gate is not shut. The gate is open. But there's a time when that gate will close, when God will unveil to man the time in which the Lord will come with the shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Caleb brought that to our attention on Thursday night, that portion in verse Thessalonians. The gate is open to whosoever will may come. Let's read a few verses beginning in verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in therein. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring fruit, but cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, Thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The number of thoughts we see here in this portion concerning the credibility, the truthfulness of the way of God. We have the credible way. We have the credible messenger. We have the credible fruit and the credible repentance. We have the credible way. Enter in at the straight gate. It's a narrow gate. Refers to a metaphor. A metaphor is used in the light of this thought. And the metaphor of a wedding. At a wedding feast, there was a small archway door, and through this door entered all the guests that were invited. It was a narrow way. It was a narrow door. And it kept out those who were not invited at the feast, the wedding feast. It was a narrow doorway. And that metaphor is used in thought there as we see this portion. That narrow is the way that leads to life. Broad is the way to destruction. The credible way of God is the narrow way. And there's few that find that way. It's not a popular way in the world. People are willing to follow the most popular way. What is the most prominent way to go? What is the most prominent way to worship from man's perspective? And people follow man rather than the Lord. And the truth that God has revealed in His Word, the doctrine that He's revealed, is not popular. People are looking for many flashy things and charisma, things of this sort. But acknowledging the simple truth of the Word of God, the way in which God has revealed in Scripture is not popular today. Apostasy is rampant. The turning away from the truth of the Word of God. Errors. Different spirits of teaching all come under the fact that man is seeking to find another way and to follow the wide road that leads to destruction. But there are many that are on that road. You know, the invitation is open. The gate is open this morning. But if you truly want to know the way to God, the way to life, the way to having a confidence and assurance and a hope of this life, we must receive Christ as our Savior and recognize that He paid the price for your sin and mine, and his death on the cross of Calvary, destined for hell, he came to save us and to give us eternal life. But he wants you to receive him. He wants you to realize that the gate is open, and he wants you to enter in and to receive him as your Savior by faith. And once you do that, you're now on the narrow road that leadeth to life, and there's few that find it. And it's very clear in Scripture, as we see. And we see in Revelation concerning the Church of Philadelphia that there is few that gather unto the Lord. That Philadelphia is not a very popular church. It had little strength, it speaks of. Not great popularity, not great show and so on. It was of little strength. And you know, that's what God is looking for today, is a faithful few that can see the credibility in the Word of God and the credibility in our faith and trust in the one who gave it to us, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's credible. Once we receive him by faith, we're on the credible way to heaven. But notice we see in verse 15 that there's false prophets that come in sheep's clothing. Inwardly they are raving wolves. False prophets today. There's many religions in this world. Many follow their own teaching in their own ways. Many have smooth tongue. You have charisma. People follow. A show. There's a higher standard of living than normal people of this world. Consider themselves above rather than amongst. And it's a dangerous evidence of a false prophet. Not giving an account to anyone. And that's a very dangerous thing. Deceiving, bringing deceit. Taking people down the broad road that leads to destruction. The ungodliness of this world's destiny is destruction. There are those of prophets that claim to stand in truth, present nothing but the falseness of man's religious system that this world is faced with. We see in Revelation 19 that the false prophets with Satan will be ultimately cast into the lake of fire. Their destruction will come at the time of God's judgment. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. In verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. A picture of false prophets. A picture of those who are seeking to to draw people away into their own selfish ambitions. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. They're enemies of the cross. Whose end is destruction. Whose glory is in their shame. That's the end of those false prophets. Their end is destruction, whose God is their shame. And this is the wide road that leads to destruction. Then we see that you'll know them by their fruits, the credibility of fruits. The men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles. Do you ever pick a grape with thorns on the vines? Never have you? Grapes are found on vines, beautiful vines. Figs are found on great trees, fig leaves. We know the Lord saw the fig tree and had no leaves. Leaves were characteristic of a fig tree, not thistles. Total opposite, isn't it? A good tree is going to bear good fruit, but a corrupt tree is going to yield corrupt fruit. And they can't mix it together. There's no thorns with grapes. There's no thistles with figs. They're total opposite. And you know, that's the difference of God's way and man's way. God's way is the way of peace, and the way of righteousness, and the way of credibleness. Of truth and honesty. And man's ways is just the opposite, as enemies of the cross of Christ. Just the total opposite. By the fruit of the tree, you're going to know what kind of tree it is. By the fruits of false prophets and false teachers, you're going to know what kind of a prophet he is by the fruit. It's a very dangerous thing to see the fruits that is evidenced through false prophet, the deception of man. And they fail to see the real truth. And those are deceiving man. And telling man, if you do this, if you do these works, if you give this money, if you do all these things, you'll enter the kingdom of heaven. But the Lord says, no, you come as you are. You recognize who you are. You're a sinner by nature, the nature of man. And repent. And ask the Lord to save you. He will save you. By the fruits, you will know them. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. The tree is going to be cut down if it does not bear good fruit. It's going to be burned in the fire. This is the tree of repentance. This is the tree of repentance. When man fails to bear fruit, being deceived by false prophets, there's no fruit of repentance that is born. A tree. A picture of man will ultimately be cast into the lake of fire. The destruction of the way, the wide road, is seen in the tree that bears not fruit fit for repentance will be cast into the lake of fire. This is the ultimate end of the ungodly. Let's go to John chapter 15. In verse 5, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, shall bring forth fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. We have here the picture of the restoration, the credibility of the restoration of man. The child of God who abides in the vine fails to recognize the vine. He is as a branch in the vine, fails to recognize that the source of supply of life is found in the vine, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without me you can do nothing. The believer goes on and thinks he can do what he wants in his life. He doesn't need the vine. Seeks to go his own way. Ultimately, his testimony will be burned. His life perhaps be taken prematurely. You see, we're a branch in the vine, and we depend upon the vine. We abide in him. Our very life is in him. Our sustenance day by day is found in him. Without me you can do nothing. He's our only source. If we fail to follow him, to do his will, if we go our own way and perhaps maybe and delve into the sin of the world, be caught up in the things of the world, so far we fail to repent, God may say, time the branch to be cut off. And God takes life of his own prematurely. I got a call this last week from my cousin. I shared with some of the men here and them. His boy went to work one morning. After a few hours, he didn't feel well. So he got in his car and he was driving himself to the hospital. Now, of course, in Maine, the hospital isn't, you go down the street a few blocks, turn left, you go down, and it's on the right. The nearest one was about 40-some miles away, about three-quarters of the way there. The car went out of the road, flipped over. Someone was following him. They couldn't understand what happened. Come to find out, a young lad of 26 years of age suddenly had a heart attack and died instantly. Back at his grandfather's home is his grandfather sitting in a rocking chair, 96 years of age, in fair health. 70 years apart. You say, why did it happen? His father and I were good friends together, and he called me and couldn't understand why it would happen to such a young lad. Why would God allow that to happen? We don't know what God is doing. We don't have the answers. But God is still faithful. He's still a God of love. He's still a God who cares. We see that we're to be on the narrow way that leadeth to life. Few there be that find it. We can be thankful this morning in a troubled world that we're on the narrow way that leads to life. No matter what happens, we'll go to be with Him throughout all eternity. I'm not sure where his boy stood spiritually. Not certain. But we need to be ready to meet the Lord at any time. We see in verse 21, the door that was open. I think we need to keep in mind that the same thought is carried on as the Lord Jesus teaches concerning the few that find life and the many that are on the broad road that leads to destruction. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. There's two words in this verse that is, I think is a very, very key to this portion. He that saith, not everyone that saith, but he that doeth. Great difference between just saying and doing. Backing up what you say by doing. The great fundamental truth, isn't it, of the Word of God. But what we say needs to be evidence in what we do. And I can say that in my own life I haven't been true to this always. Easy to say, but to back up what you say with what you do is so important. Let's go to 1 John. First John 1 and verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say we have fellowship with him, but if we walk in darkness of this world, we lie and we do not the truth. We're not credible, are we? I'm not credible. If I say one thing and I walk another way, I'm lying. I'm not of the truth. Very solemn things, aren't they? Chapter 2 and verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We say that we know him, and I keep his commandments, or if we say that we know him and we don't keep his commandments, we're not being truthful. We're not being credible, are we? We're a liar. We're not of the truth. Very solemn, isn't it, when you think of it? And I think this is the key thought as we look at this portion. In verse 22, many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Many. You're talking about the wide road that leads to destruction, where there's many. Many is going to say, cry, Lord, Lord, I've done all of this and that. I never knew you. What we say is the evidence in what we do. The will of God, following His word, and seeking by the grace of God to live as He gives us strength and direction in our life. There's going to be many on the broad road. It's going to say that I've done all these things and prophesied in your name and cast out devils and many wonderful things. I've done all these things, but nothing according to the will of God. Nothing to show the credibility of one's faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, workers of iniquity. On the wide road that leads to destruction, there's many that follow that way. He will say to them, depart from me, all ye that work iniquity. What a tragedy that will be. To be deceived by false prophets, and they come in with sheep's clothing. Clothing that is white. Clothing that is so looked upon as pure and as right. Deception, deceitfulness of the sheep's clothing is only to be found in the inner heart that is as a raving wolf, seeking to destroy, seeking her own profit and gain rather than the glory of God, the glory of man. The evidence of the false prophet as raving wolves seeking to devour. What a sad day that will be. And I think in verse 24 through 27, we see the word therefore. The word therefore refers to what is said before. He likens them to a man who builds his house upon the rock. But notice what he says. He heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. He does something about them. He does something. Man is brought to the conviction. He needs to do something. He needs to recognize that man is a sinner. Man is destitute without God. But he likens him to a man whose house is built upon the rock. The rains come and the floods descend, and the house stands firm. Because that one not only hears the sayings, but he does something about it. This is for me. I need this. I am a sinner. I am headed for the way of destruction, the broad way that leads to destruction. I need to make sure that I'm on the narrow way of life, and He's doing something about it. He's the one whose house is built upon the rock. But the one who hears and does not do builds his house upon sand. And eventually when the floods come, the rains, the house falls. And great is the fall of it, because he does nothing about the saying in which God, which the Lord has spoken to them concerning the way of life, the narrow way of life, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Be thankful this morning that we have a credible Savior who's given us a credible way of life. Is anyone here this morning who is not sure whether on that way? You might think you're still on the broad way that leads to destruction, where many there are that follow that way. You've never seen the fact that you need to be on the narrow way of life. And coming to the Savior, asking the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sin, to give you a new life, to put you on the new way, the way that leads to eternal life, a way where there's hope, a way where there's assurance, a way where there's peace, and that we can have comfort and rest, a way in which we can follow the one who has spoken in the Word, and as we do what he has said, he's promised that he will be our Savior to the end. He's come to save, to seek and to save that which is lost. If you've never trusted him as your Savior, do so this morning before it's too late. Let's just close in prayer.